Today's scripture reading is taken from Acts 26, 1 to 32. So Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. "I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa. I am going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope, I am accused by Jews, O King. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief of priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them, often in all the synagogues, and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them, even to foreign cities. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?' And I said, 'Where are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying to both small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that, by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to both our people and to the Gentiles." And he was saying these things in his defense. Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind." But Paul said, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." Then the king rose, and the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, "This man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the eighth day of the Lunar New Year, so let me wish everyone 新年快乐, 新年蒙恩, 新年蒙福, 新年健康, 心想事成. Would you come together with me to ask God to help us listen to His Word this morning? Let us go to God in prayer as we prepare our hearts for the sharing of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask of You to grant us a listening heart to hear Your Word this morning. We pray that our hearts and minds be focused on You. May Your Spirit guide me in delivering Your Word and ministering to Your people in today's sharing. This is us and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you love having your picture taken? Nobody? Me. How many of you love to be in someone's Facebook feed, IG story, IG life? IG stands for Instagram, a social media platform where people share photos and videos with their followers. IG Live is a feature that allows you to live stream or broadcast video to your Instagram followers in real time. Recently, I saw someone's IG Live and I gebo, that means I was being a busybody. I clicked and accepted something from his IG Live without knowing what I had clicked on. The tagline was so interesting. "We couldn't find a Grab driver after visiting the Moa Caves of Ningming, so we decided to walk back to the hotel and live stream the experience." I thought it was interesting, intriguing, so I clicked it without thinking, and I was on live. Wow, I was lying on the sofa, and suddenly I realized that I was in someone's live feed, live stream. I was caught off guard and quickly got up and tried to tidy up my messy hair. You can see my brief fame, my brief instant unglam moment. How many of you have been caught off guard in a surprise, unexpected, or awkward situation? I love to watch this reality show long ago. The show host would always catch someone when they least expect it. The show would always catch people in the most surprising, hilarious, and unbelievable situation. And the host would suddenly direct the person to look in front and say, "Smile, you're on candid camera." At the end of the show, the host will deliver a warning to the viewers with this catchphrase: "Don't be surprised if sometime, somewhere, someplace where you least expect it, someone comes up to you and say, 'Smile, you're on candid camera.'" Certainly, the host of the reality show Candid Camera caught unsuspecting people when they least expected it. And the unsuspecting people just had to smile. Certainly, Preacher Eldrin caught me unexpectedly in his IG Live. I just had to pretend to be cool and smile and get ready to appear in his live stream. Certainly, don't be surprised if sometime, somewhere, someplace, when you least expect it, someone comes up to you, someone appears at your doorstep, or someone whom you know, who they are known in the marketplace, or someone whom you have known for a long time, and ask you question about your faith in Christ, or ask you to defend your faith, or ask you question about the meaning in life or struggles in life. Smile and be ready to tell your story. Smile and be ready to tell your story of conversion. Smile and be ready to share Jesus by telling your story. And that is what happened to Paul, ready to tell his story. I'm not sure whether he smiled at his enemies when he was caught unexpectedly, unsuspectedly, and chained up. But certainly he was ready to tell his story. His story of conversion. Apostle Paul was not caught unexpectedly on Instagram Live or surprisingly on candid camera, but he was caught unexpectedly with the accusation of offending the Jews, the accusation of teaching against the law of the Jews, the accusation of teaching against the temple. He was caught unexpectedly with false charges, a plot to charge him, a plot to murder him, because he preached that Jesus rose from the grave. He was caught in situation after situation to defend his faith, to defend the gospel against the Sanhedrin, Felix Festus, and he unashamedly defended his case before King Agrippa. How did he present himself? In Acts 26, chapter 26, Paul was caught with chains and was ready to present his defense before Agrippa, defending the gospel and his manner of life according to the gospel. Paul was caught, but he was ready. He took the opportunity to present his case to Agrippa that he was not guilty of the accusations and false charges of offending the Jewish laws and tradition. He took the opportunity to present his case to King Agrippa too by telling his story, story of his strict Jewish background, story of his life before conversion, story of his account of conversion, story of his life after conversion. Paul presented his defense before King Agrippa. Firstly, he shared his Jewish background with Agrippa, who was also acquainted with Jewish custom. He shared that he was brought up in Jerusalem. He was strictly educated as a Pharisee. He adhered to the beliefs of the Pharisee. Paul attested that his hope was grounded in God, and his hope was in the promise that God raises the dead. He shared with Agrippa that his promise is in the heart of the Jewish faith. However, Paul also attested that the proclamation of the Messiah will fulfill this hope as the first of the resurrection. For to Paul, to this belief in the resurrection of Christ was the disbelief in the general resurrection of the dead. Let me read a portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to 19, the front and the back. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Paul presented his defense before Agrippa that he was not teaching against the Jewish people, not teaching against the Jewish law. He presented his defense before Agrippa as a faithful Jew, sharing in Jewish beliefs and participating in Jewish action. Paul continued to share his story with Agrippa, the story of his life before conversion,
story of his life before he followed Christ by describing his intensity of opposition to Jesus and Christian. Verse 9 says, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus to Nazareth. He shared in detail with Agrippa the intensity of his attacks on Christians. He went out to arrest Christians and had them jailed. He voted against Christians who were put to death. He tried to make the Christian blasphemy against Christ. That means he tried to make them curse Christ, make them recant their faith in Christ. Paul continued to share his life story of conversion, the story of his transformation, the story of encountering the Lord with Agrippa in verse 12 to 18. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Paul shared with King Agrippa his story of radical change that took place through encounter with Christ the Lord. His life changed when he personally encountered Jesus on the journey to Damascus, to the lightning flash that blinded him. He heard God's voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? A heavenly voice spoke to him, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. A voice whom Paul addressed as the Lord, Who are you, Lord? Paul's transformation from a persecutor of the Christian faith to a preacher of the Christian faith happened through an encounter with Christ when Christ appeared to Paul. How is your encounter with God? How did your encounter with God look like? Do you still remember your encounter with God? I remember long ago, when the doors of my heart was closed to God, I had told myself not to touch on any topic on God. When Christians asked me, what would happen to me when I die or when I leave this earth? My reply always was, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And that's what I told them. However, I finally encountered God for a simple reason. I was scared of ghosts. One day in Perth, the Lord caused me to ponder, to think deeply and solemnly. If I believe in ghosts, why am I not acknowledging that there is a God? A God who is far, far more supreme than ghosts. And that caused me to think more deeply on who God is. I was invited to a Chinese Presbyterian church for a few times in Perth when I was studying there. And I did warn myself not to sing during the worship service. Not because I would sing off tune, but my heart was closed. However, one day I told myself, what's the harm of opening my mouth, right? I love to sing, though I would normally sing off tune. I remember the song was Be Thou My Vision. That was in Chinese, Chen Wei Wo Yi Xiang. I couldn't understand fully the words of the song because it was in traditional Chinese script, but I sang. As I sang, the Lord opened my heart, and there was this sense of liberation, peace and comfort in my heart, that I tear in my eyes and my heart. I didn't know at that time that God had opened my heart to Him in a song, and a song that I couldn't understand. And that was how I encountered God, I think should be my second time in my life. So how is your encounter with God? What was it like? Paul continued to tell his story with Agrippa, the story of commission from God. He told Agrippa that Jesus said to him, "But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." In verses 16 to 18, Paul shared with King Agrippa that the Lord Jesus had called him to be his own and commissioned him to be his witness and his messenger. Paul shared with Agrippa what made him, what compelled him to be Christ's witness and messenger. Paul shared with King Agrippa what made him, what compelled him to be Christ's witness and messenger. He had received commission from the Lord himself. Verse 16, Jesus said to Paul, "Rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness, and I am sending you." The role of Paul is a chosen witness and messenger. Christ called Paul as his own, that is, servant of Christ. Can I have the slide before this? Christ called Paul as his own, that is, servant of Christ. Christ called Paul as his witness, that Christ is the Messiah who fulfilled the hope as the first of the resurrection. Verse 17, "I'm sending you." Christ called Paul as his messenger, that Christ is sending him to preach the gospel. It is a direct commission from the risen Christ to bring the gospel message to Jerusalem and to many foreign cities. "I am sending you." What then is Paul's commission from the Lord? Paul shared with King Agrippa that Lord Jesus' commission to him was to be sent to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Paul shared with Agrippa that he was called to be the witness and to preach repentance and release of sins. Paul's commission from the Lord is the foundation of his mission. From the moment that Paul heard the words, "I am Jesus," Paul knew of one master. Hence, when he received a command from that one master, he was set on obeying it. So after his commission, he immediately went forth in a commission to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and in many foreign lands, to Jews and especially to Gentiles. The commission itself echoes the commission of the Lord's chosen servant in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 to 7. It says, "I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness, I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nation, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. In Acts, we can clearly see that the commission of Paul and of all Christian witnesses is the continuation of the Lord's commission and has been made very plain in the book of Acts. Christ, the chosen servant, was to open the eyes of the blind and turn their darkness to light. So Paul was summoned to continue this commission of healing ministry. And so are we. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are summoned to continue the mission of the Lord, to open the eyes of the blind, to open the eyes of the blind, to open the eyes of the darkness. We are celebrating PSBC 180th anniversary, and this year's theme is celebrating God's faithfulness, continuing the mission. Let us remember to continue the mission that God gave us. Remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8? He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." God promises that we will receive power to be his witnesses when we receive the Holy Spirit. Paul was indeed defending himself before Agrippa, but at the same time, Paul was telling his story to Agrippa by sharing Jesus, by presenting the truth of the gospel, and witnessing to the difference Jesus Christ has made in someone's life, in his life. Paul's life was transformed from a persecutor of the Christian faith to a preacher of the Christian faith. This is the longest of Paul's speeches found in Acts. It was because of his conviction about the resurrection and the hope in the resurrected Christ that now he's a prisoner. To Paul, this is a crucial truth of the gospel, for if there's no resurrection, then Jesus Christ was not raised. And Paul had no gospel to preach. If there's no resurrection of Jesus Christ, Paul had no story to tell about Jesus. And so are we. We have no story to tell about Jesus if there's no resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to share Jesus by telling your story? Or would you be caught off guard when you are asked about your faith in Christ, or to defend your faith, or when someone is struggling in their life or with meaning in life? Who can open the eyes of the darkness? Who can open the eyes of the lost? Jesus said, "I am sending you to open the eyes," a commission from the Lord himself. Who is God calling you to reach out so that they may turn from darkness to light? So that they may turn from the power of Satan to God? So that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and may receive a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ? Are you prepared to tell your story? Are you prepared to tell your story of conversion? Are you prepared to tell a story of encountering God? Are you prepared to tell your story, your testimony? What will be your posture be? Is it bochap, or you don't care? Nonchalant, unsure, fear, and trembling? Or ready, let's go? Paul is commanded not to stay in a posture of fear and reverence, but to get up to do a job that the Lord had enabled him to do. How shall we share? Paul gave us an example to share our testimony. four things. We can follow Paul's example: story of your background, story of life before conversion, account of conversion, story of life after conversion. Be ready to tell your story. Many years ago, I went to Japan for a mission trip under EPJM, English Presbytery Japan Mission. I wanted to see how God is working in the lives of Japanese Christian, Japanese pastors, and the lives of Japanese. For I heard the ground of Japan or the gospel work in Japan is very hard, especially in the land of Iwate. I wanted very much to see how God is working in the mission. I can't speak Japanese, meaning I can't interact with the Japanese in their language. Sukoshi, nothing. However, I was caught off guard when I was asked to tell my story to the Japanese people in an English cafe. But thank God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I shared my testimony with the Japanese in the English cafe. Pastor Kondo, the pastor in Morioka Church, translated my testimony in Japanese as I told my story in Japan to the Japanese. This is my story. I came from a very traditional family that practiced Taoism and ancestral worship. It's a traditional family where boys are favored more than girls. I am the only daughter in a family of three boys, two older brothers and one younger brother. I also came from a broken family. My father always quarreled with my mother. He womanized. He's violent with his words and action. He drank and gambled. He believed in himself and he's the center of his life. He had a violent temper, and he neglected my mother, my brothers, and me. At a very young age, I questioned the meaning and purpose of my life. However, I cried out to God, even though I did not know him yet. I said, "God of all gods, please save me and tell me that you're real." I believe at that time, I had my first encounter with God, though I didn't know then. My life was changed when I went to Australia, Perth, for my university studies. Even though I went to church, my heart was closed. I refused to open my mouth to sing because I was fearful of offending my mother. However, one Sunday, my heart was open, and I sang for the first time. I felt a sense of relief, peace, and comfort when I opened my heart or my mouth to sing. One night, in my own room, I took out the amulet that my mother gave me before I left Singapore. Even though I was not a believer of Taoism, but I kept it because of my mother and a just-in-case mentality. I looked at my left hand and said, "In the past, I had you and this religion, but I had no peace, no hope, no security, no love, no meaning in life." Then I looked at my right hand where I talked to Jesus. I said, "I don't know much about you, but you promised a life of hope, a life of love. I don't lose much if I choose you. If I choose you and you're not real, I don't lose much. My life is still the same. But if I don't choose you and you are real, I will never, never experience the goodness of following Jesus in my life." At the moment, I chose Jesus. After the decision, I threw away the amulet in the rubbish bin outside my lodging, and I made a promise not to have anything with it again. So, from a life of hopelessness to a life filled with hope, peace, and love. Before, I was lost, abandoned. But now, I'm valued because I know Jesus loves me. Because Jesus gives me a smile not only on my face, but also in my heart. Be ready to tell your story. I was caught off guard to tell my story to the Japanese in the English cafe, and my teammates could see I was frantic, trying to find any free time during the mission trip to prepare my testimony. I remember four things: story of background, story of life before conversion, account of conversion, story of life after conversion. Was I surprised to tell my story? Yes. However, I remember from this sharing that I need to be ready to tell my story of conversion anytime, anywhere, and any place. Even in the land of Iwate, even in the land of unfamiliar language, God can still do wonders. Certainly, Paul was not surprised to tell his story of conversion wherever he went. Verse 22 says, "To this day, I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here, testifying both to small and great." The fact that Paul continued Christ's mission to spread the gospel in Jerusalem and beyond was a proof to his conversion and evidence of the faithfulness of God. Paul was saved by God's grace and enabled to serve by God's grace. So, certainly don't be surprised if sometime, somewhere, someplace, when you least expect it, someone comes up to you or someone appears at your doorstep. It could be your family members or your colleagues whom you meet in the marketplace or your friends whom you have known for a long time or even a short time, and ask you questions about your faith in Christ, or ask you to defend your faith, or ask you questions about struggles in life or meaning in life. Smile and be ready to tell your story. Your story of conversion is an opportunity to share Jesus with others. Your story of conversion it's an opportunity to share with others. Would you let God use you to open the eyes of the lost, the eyes of the darkness, by telling your story of conversion? Let me read the Bible text of verse 16 to you, and you can say out your name or fill out your name as I read out. Jesus said, "I'm sending you, Carol. I'm sending you, Amanda. I'm sending you, Yukyong. I'm sending you, Joshua. I'm sending you, Connie. I'm sending you, Sean. I'm sending you, Trieng. I'm sending you, Lily. I'm sending you, Julian, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Amen."